This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll free, take control of the airwaves, bring up anything that you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype as well, and the Skype username here is lrn.fm. Or you can call us through our Discord chat. Go to discord.lrn.fm, and you can connect to the Discord on-air call-in line room. It's the first chat room in our list of rooms, and we'll get you on the air that way with you in the studio tonight. It's Ian.
And Johnson.
And Melanie.
Johnson, we're going to change gears and get into a story you brought in here tonight. About scientific studies, peer-reviewed journals, some possible corruption. Tell me what's going on there.
Sure, yeah. So this is, I like to read from all sort of perspectives, including ones that enrage me, are against my own viewpoint, which is I have a lot of respect for the scientific method and, scientific principles because I think that it's the only real way of getting to any kind of
truth.
Yeah. So, it kind of enrages me when I see that being burned to the ground. And that's what's happening in science
lately.
The story here is from The Economist. Some science journals that claim to peer review papers do not do so.
Uh-oh.
Whether to get a promotion or merely to get a foot in the door, academics have long known that they must publish papers, typically the more the better. Tallying scholarly publications to evaluate their authors has been common since the invention of scientific journals in the 17th century. So, too, has the practice of journal editors asking independent, usually anonymous, experts to scrutinize manuscripts and reject those deemed flawed.
That's the peer review process.
Yep. A quality control process now known as peer review.
Uh-huh.
Of late, however, this habit of according importance to papers labeled as peer-reviewed has become something of a gamble. A rising number of journals that claim to review submissions in this way do not bother to do so. Not coincidentally, this seems to be leading some academics to inflate their publication lists with papers that might not pass such scrutiny. Experts debate how many journals falsely claim to engage in peer review.
That's what I want to know, is how do you tell? I mean, because I didn't know this about peer review.
Mm-hmm.
What you told me in just a moment ago was that it's anonymous peers that actually review, so they give it to some supposed peer, some expert, but they don't necessarily reveal who that person is. If they do or do not do that, how do you prove that is the case? I mean, they're just saying, we did this.
Well, they've found some ways to test it.
Okay.
Again, there's debates over this. Cabell's, an analytics firm in Texas, has compiled a blacklist of those which it believes are guilty. According to Kathleen Berryman, who is in charge of this list, the firm employs 65 criteria to determine whether a journal should go on it. Though she is reluctant to go into details, Cabell's list is now around 8,700 journals.
Whoa.
Up from a bit over 4,000 a year ago. Another list which grew...
How many of these damn journals are there?
I guess a lot.
Because there's not that many credible journals. So, yeah, you're going to be able to find just some random person who's like, I have a science journal. I put stuff in it. Like, yeah, there's thousands and thousands of those. It's like anything else. There's a few credible things, and then there's just like...
A bunch of crap.
Yeah.
Right.
Huh. So that's not really surprising at all.
So it's not a surprise then that the crappy journals are claiming falsely to be peer reviewed in order to make themselves seem more important?
Yeah, I guess so.
Huh.
Well, according to this, another list, which grew to around 12,000 journals, was compiled until recently by Jeffrey Beal, a librarian at the University of Colorado. Using Mr. Beal's list, Bochreister Bjork, an information scientist at the Hanken School of Economics in Helsinki, estimates that the number of articles published in questionable journals has ballooned from about 53,000 a year in 2010 to more than 400,000 today. He estimates that 6% of academic papers by researchers in America appear to be in such journals. behind all this is a change in the way that journals make their money. Over the past decade, many have stopped selling subscriptions. Instead, they charge authors a publication fee and permit people to read the result for nothing. This open access business model has the advantage of increasing the dissemination of knowledge, but it also risks corrupting the knowledge thus disseminated. The trouble with Lycan. The truth of this was shown as far back as 2013 in an experiment conducted by John Bohannon, a journalist with a doctorate in molecular biology. Dr. Bohannon set up a sting operation by writing versions of a paper falsely claiming that a molecule found in lichens inhibits cancer. The papers featured, he says, laughably bad methodology and a shocking conclusion that the molecule is a promising new drug, despite an absence of clinical trials.
Which would mean that if someone were actually peer-reviewing, they would have caught all of these problems.
Yeah, very easily.
Because it was just blatantly obvious. Yeah.
He attributed the papers to fictional biologists at made-up African medical institutes and then submitted them to open-access journals. Of 121 chosen from a blacklist, 69% offered to publish the paper for a fee, even when he turned to journals on a whitelist of supposedly trustworthy open-access journals. 38% of the 167 he approached fell into the trap.
Interesting.
Dr. Bohannon's experiment did lack a true control, submission to journals that still charge subscriptions. Nevertheless, his findings were worrying, and since then, he says, things have only gotten darker. One aspect of that darkness is that compiling a blacklist has itself become risky. Mr. Beal stopped adding to his list last year and left his job at the University of Colorado in March. He claims to have been subjected to pressure from a superior to a research misconduct investigation by the university and to threats of lawsuits by publishers. The university, for its part, says that no pressure was put on him to take down the list. As far as it is aware, that decision was his, and his job was never in jeopardy because of his work researching open-access journals. It cannot, however, disclose whether or not there was a research misconduct investigation. Disclosure happens only after a finding has been made in such an investigation. Mr. Beal's list has been taken up by another researcher who has since appended 690 new journals to it. But
wow.
This new custodian refuses to be named. Meanwhile, at Cabell's, Ms. Berryman reckons the publishers of bogus journals are getting even cannier. She has seen cases of journals she regards as suspect claiming to be on whitelists, fabricating citation scores for papers, stating plausible time frames for peer review, claims of rapid review are often associated with questionable journals, and brazenly listing as sitting on their editorial boards scholars who are not, in fact, doing so.
Wow. I mean, this is an insane level of fraud here that you're talking about.
Yeah, massive. Ms. Berryman says, too, that some websites copy wording and graphics used by legitimate journals. Other sites go further, assuming a name that is confusingly similar to that of a reputable journal. And according to Ivan Oransky, co-founder of Retraction Watch, a blog that monitors such matters, questionable journals now also occasionally retract articles in a bid to appear responsible.
What is the benefit of committing this fraud? So you're...
You get paid?
Well, no, they're paying to put their...
No, the authors are paying to put their...
Oh, to keep their jobs.
Yeah, no, the authors are paying
to get
published in these journals. So if these journals seem reputable, then authors are going to want to be published in those journals. So they're going to submit to them and pay to get in them.
Right, but if you're submitting a questionable study in the first place...
It doesn't matter. You work for the state. You go to the state and you say, you said I had to publish five papers
this
semester.
This comes down to the government.
Oh, this is the state?
The journals are not the state.
No, but the people who are...
The grants are the state.
This
article isn't going to talk about the grants.
Most professors have a set number of studies they have to publish per year, per semester. And they don't get graded on value of the study or in-depth of the study or anything like that.
Just whether it's published.
Like, number of publications you have, literally.
It'll touch on it a little bit.
Which means that they then get a grant from taxpayer money.
They don't even necessarily get a grant. They just keep their job.
Wow. All right. So we're going to continue here in moments. So this is the educational government monopoly that is truly what's behind this. All right. 855 450 free like freedom. You can join us here on Free Talk Live. Bring up what's on your mind.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S., the Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Now there's a proven powerful anti-inflammatory that absorbs 40 times better. Yes, Nano Curcumin Plus from One Planet Nutrition contains smaller particle size that allows absorption over 40 times better into your bloodstream. Nano Curcumin Plus may also help reduce pain and inflammation, detoxify, and help against heart disease and diabetes. Nano Curcumin Plus is now on sale at OnePlanetNutrition.com. Use promo code GCN for your special discount at OnePlanetNutrition.com. The next generation of nutritional supplementation.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It is Free Talk Live. You're invited to join us on the radio waves. Take control of the airwaves here. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, that's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype as well. Skype on in to join us. Skype username LRN.FM. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Johnson.
And Melanie.
And, of course, you can bring up anything that's on your mind. We've been talking about a disturbing story, Johnson, where there's some evidence that has been uncovered showing that the scientific journals supposedly are not so scientific, many of them, like thousands of them apparently, claiming to be peer-reviewed, point of fact, not actually peer-reviewed, and this was tested by a scientist, a journalist who's also, you know, studies science, who submitted a blatantly false, obviously, you know, messed up study to multiple journals, hundreds of them, I guess, and was shocked with how many of them actually published it.
So just to recap real quick here, Ms. Berryman says, too, that some websites copy wording and graphics used by legitimate journals. Other sites go further, assuming a name that is confusingly similar to that of a reputable journal. And according to Ivan Aransky, co-founder of Retraction Watch, a blog that monitors such matters, questionable journals now also occasionally retract articles in a bid to appear responsible in what can only be described as a superb piece of subterfuge. Now, this is, again, you know, like, this is something that infuriates me, because essentially what I'm seeing here is science, which I think is, you know, the scientific method is one of the basically only good ways of figuring out the truth, is being torn down by what else than government.
The incentive structure put in place by these government education monopolies.
Else, you know, what else is government good at other than propaganda, misinformation, destroying the truth, you know, shredding reality in order to, you know, line the pockets of politicians? Well, here's how this works. This, you know, scientific journal thing, none of it would matter if institutions hiring academics were appropriately vigilant about checking candidates' publication histories against blacklists, and similarly inquisitive about the publications of those already employed. But some apparently are not.
They're just taking them at their word. Oh, I've got all these published studies. Oh, great. You're hired.
According to Brian Nozick, head of the Center for Open Science, a not-for-profit organization in Virginia that studies the matter, many institutions that hire and promote researchers seem unconcerned about whether those researchers, about where those researchers have been publishing, a problem made worse by recent requirements by the American and Canadian governments that taxpayer-funded research must be published in open-access journals. Unsurprisingly, this is an area in which data are hard to come by. But one academic has been prepared to stick his neck out and investigate his own institution. Last year, Derek Pine, an economist at Thompson Rivers University's Business School in British Columbia, published a paper in the Journal of Scholarly Publishing, itself published by the University of Toronto Press. In it, he reported that many of the business school's administrators and most of its economics and business faculty with research responsibilities had published in journals on Mr. Beale's blacklist. Dr. Pine also claimed that these papers seemed to further their authors' careers. Of the professors Of the professors who had published in the blacklisted journals, 56% had subsequently won at least one research award from the school. All 10 instructors promoted to full professor during the study period had published in a journal on Mr. Beale's list. Subsequently, Dr. Pine told school officials that an administrator up for promotion had published widely in blacklisted journals. This earned Dr. Pine an email from the university's Human Resources Department on June 15th, threatening him with disciplinary action for defamatory language and accusations. When asked, the university declined to comment.
So even though he had evidence, the system has turned against him because he's making them look bad.
Yep.
With the truth.
Yeah. Review, peer review. What can be done about all this is hard to say. Dr. Pine thinks that that part of the problem is that too many academic administrators have no research experience, and so either cannot tell good publications from bad,
or
do not care.
They're just too busy pushing their pencils or whatever it is they have to do, you know, whatever bureaucratic tasks they have. And, oh, looks like you've published your journals for the or published your studies for the year. Congratulations, you're staying on with your tenure and whatever.
Yeah. Few researchers, though, thrilled to the idea of a career in administration, so changing that might be difficult. An extreme reaction, albeit one supported by a growing minority of researchers who think the peer review system is anyway creaking under the weight of publication pressure, would be to abandon anonymous peer review altogether and make the process open and transparent. This could be done, as sometimes happens already, by publishing unreviewed papers on special servers and then inviting criticism conditional on the name of the critic being public.
Public.
Yeah. That, though, brings other risks. Anonymous critics often find it easier to be honest, especially in fields where most researchers know each other. One far-fetched solution is a return to journal subscriptions. These have for so long been excoriated as rent-seeking profit inflators restricted the flow of information that a change of course now would be unthinkable. But those who pushed for their elimination might be wise to pause for thought. As the old proverb has it, be careful what you wish for, you might get it.
Wow. So basically, there's no real good answer here besides what they don't propose, which is, of course, a complete upending of the government indoctrination, government state-run school system.
Right, but to be fair, they're kind of looking for a shorter-term solution to a specific problem, not do we have enough firepower to overthrow the United States federal government.
No, I understand that, but ultimately, none of those solutions sound like they were real enthusiastic about their chances for, you know, success.
I mean, and you... Anybody could adopt, and it wouldn't even have to be the researchers getting together. Anybody who's qualified to do this, if there was a demand for this, could kind of do the Wikipedia thing where, okay, although Wikipedia is open, but anybody can peer review anything in a field that they work in. So
I know how we would solve this
I don't
problem.
Think it's as much of a problem as they're kind of making it out to be.
I think we can solve this problem with a law, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Outlaw peer review. Because government laws always do the opposite.
Speaking of laws, there's news here that is pretty big news today about the Supreme Court apparently coming down on the side of Donald Trump on his Muslim ban.
Yeah.
Bad news from the Associated Press, where a sharply divided Supreme Court has upheld Donald Trump's ban on travel from several mostly Muslim countries. This decision coming down today, the conservative majority taking Trump's side in a major ruling supporting his presidential power. A dissenting liberal justice said the court was making a historic mistake by refusing to recognize the ban discriminates against Muslims. The 5-4 decision was a big victory for Trump in the court's first substantive ruling on one of his administration's policies.
For the rule of law.
It also was the latest demonstration of a newly invigorated conservative majority and a bitter defeat for the court's liberals. The ruling came on an issue that has been central for Trump from his campaign outburst against radical Islamic terrorism through his presidency. He tweeted a quick reaction, wow, and then celebrated at greater length before television cameras. We'll tell you more about the court's decision here, and this is not good news because if this, you know, Supreme Court, and Melanie, you are trained as an attorney, you went to law school, so I'm interested in getting your viewpoint on this. I imagine you were already aware of the decision. We'll continue here in moments. And what does all this mean? What will it mean for the future of travel to America? And why anybody would want to come here? I'm really not sure at this point.
Healthcare reform is confusing. But whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The Supreme Court upholds the president's controversial travel ban on people from mostly Muslim countries, 5-4. The president calls the ruling a tremendous victory for the country and the Constitution.
The ruling shows that all of the attacks from the media and the Democrat politicians are wrong, and they turned out to be very wrong.
The court affirms the president does have the ability to ban immigrants from entire countries if he deems it necessary. Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
This decision is critical to ensuring the continued authority of President Trump and all future presidents to protect the American people.
Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
This ruling did not make us any safer, and I believe that the court was wrong. It's un-American to do what has been done.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now, 800-634-1315, 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote, 800-634-1315, 800-634-1315, 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-910-5936. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-910-5936. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-910-5936. 1-800-910-5936.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
We got time for you if you want to join us on the radio here. The toll-free number is 855-450-free like freedom, 855-450-3733. Joining you tonight is Ian.
Dan Johnson.
And Melanie.
Getting into actually some of the big news of the day. I know it's a little late, but you know we don't always cover the big stories first here on Free Talk Live. Because we're doing arbitrarily whatever it is we want to do here. And of course you can always call.
Less relevant to the mission, generally speaking.
What mission?
The mission of voluntarism, anarchy, whatever you want to call it.
Okay. I guess. I don't know. The travel ban's a pretty big deal. Like, people that care about freedom care
right,
about freedom.
Right, but I'm saying
major travel.
News stories aren't necessarily correlated to freedom.
Oh, yeah. Major, most of the time. And that's why we don't generally talk about the major stories. But this one is worth talking about because the freedom to travel is one of those fundamental freedoms that libertarian or liberty-minded people should be on board with. And it's actually something that a lot of people who call themselves libertarians do not agree with and they don't understand because they have these silly analogies towards, well, it's like your house. The country's like your house and you don't have to let everyone in your house. They've got these ridiculous claims. So let's get back into the story here from the Associated Press. But first, I do want to let you know about the Tom Woods podcast. Of course, during the Ron Paul campaigns of 2008 and 2012, a lot of libertarians got to know Tom Woods. He's a best-selling New York Times best-selling author, has written over a dozen books, including The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History. And since September of 2013, which means he's been doing it now for a solid half a decade, Tom Woods has been putting out The Tom Woods Show, every single weekday, nearly 1,200 episodes so far, including guests like Ron Paul, Judge Andrew Napolitano, David Stockman, and hundreds more, including topics like war, the Federal Reserve, net neutrality, FDA, Austrian economics, and many other subjects of interest to libertarians. You can find The Tom Woods Show online at TomWoods.com or search for Tom Woods Show in your favorite podcatcher. As we continue here, Chief Justice John Roberts, writing for the majority opinion, is the 5-4 Supreme Court voting in favor of the Trump travel bans against people coming from several mostly Muslim countries. This decision coming out today, according to the story here from the AP, Roberts wrote that the travel ban was well within the U.S. president's considerable authority over immigration and responsibility for keeping the nation safe. He rejected the challenger's claim of anti-Muslim bias that rested in large part on Trump's own tweets and statements over the past 3 years. But Roberts was careful to not endorse either Trump's statements about immigration in general or Muslims in particular, including his campaign call for a, quote, complete and total shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
It says they talked about his tweets in the opinion.
It says here Roberts did not endorse Trump's statements.
But did they talk about them? Did it say they talked about them? Did I hear that right?
I don't think so.
Okay.
If I said that, I don't know, Johnson, I don't know if you noticed that, but I don't think so. Roberts says, quote, "We express no view on the soundness of the policy," he wrote. "The travel ban has been fully in place since December when the justices put the brakes on lower court rulings that had ruled the policy out of bounds and blocked parts of it from being enforced. It applies even to people with close relatives in the United States and other strong connections to the country." So if you're coming in from the states or from the countries in question here, including Syria, North Korea, Iran, Yemen, Libya, Somalia, and Venezuela, you will not be allowed into the United States, according to the Trump travel ban, which is insane. Because, go ahead, Trump.
Did you say Venezuela?
Well, insane and wrong are two different things.
It's both. It's insane and it's wrong. To prohibit people from coming into the United States, especially from countries that they have oppressive governments of their own. These are people, many of whom want to escape their oppressive governments and come to a place where they actually have a chance at a decent life, because even though the U.S. is bad, it's not as bad as some of the other places.
Yeah, that's not describing something that's... You're not describing insane to me. You're describing wrong. You're not describing insane.
Okay. Well, to me, it's pretty crazy to, you know, try to tell people where they can't go. I don't appreciate that kind of behavior from people. So maybe it's not insane, but it's nuts. How about that?
Well,
if you care about freedom.
You're kind of conflating sanity with morality. So there's lots of things that are highly immoral that you could do that would not be insane. So, mm-hmm. like, robbing a convenience store is not insane, at least if you have a good strategic plan, whereas, you know, running down the streets in front of cops, knocking over light posts, is insane. There's no benefit to you to do that.
So you're saying as long as there's a benefit, doing something crazy is not insane?
Well, it's not. Crazy and insane are pretty much the same thing.
It's not crazy in your mind to rob a convenience store? I mean, you could end up with a hole in your head as a result of that. That's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how you would go about robbing a convenience store.
Generally, you go in with a weapon or threatening to have a weapon
that,
and you demand money.
Okay, so becoming a politician and taking home a $200,000, $300,000 paycheck, that's robbery with low risk to yourself. It's evil,
yes.
But it's not insane, because there's a clear, like, okay, you were lower risk. Going for a benefit. You wanted that money. You were pretty guaranteed to get it. As long as you win, low risk to yourself. Like, it's not insane. You're a bad person. But it's not like just doing random insane things with no particular goal.
I guess it just depends on what you consider to be crazy. So apparently you don't think robbing a convenience store is a crazy act.
I'm not qualified on someone's strategy in doing an armed robbery, but assuming you had a good strategy, it's not insane. It's highly immoral.
I guess we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. So anyway, back to the story here. It applies in a dissent she summarized aloud in courts. Justice Sonia Sotomayor said, quote, "History will not look kindly on the court's misguided decision today, nor should it." Other justices dissented, including Breyer, Ginsburg, and Kagan. Sotomayor wrote that based on the evidence in the case, quote, "a reasonable observer would conclude that the proclamation was motivated by anti-Muslim animus." She said her colleagues in the majority arrived at the opposite result by, quote, "ignoring the facts, misconstruing our legal precedent, and turning a blind eye to the pain and suffering that the proclamation inflicts upon countless families and individuals, many of whom are United States citizens." Unquote. She likened the case to the discredited Korematsu versus U.S. decision that upheld the detention of Japanese Americans during World War II. Roberts responded in
Okay, that's not the same at all, but okay.
Roberts responded in his opinion, saying Korematsu has nothing to do with this case and was gravely wrong the day it was decided, unquote. The travel ban was among the court's biggest cases this term and the latest in the string of 5-4 decisions in which the conservative side of the court has prevailed. Gorsuch included was chosen by Trump after Republicans in the Senate refused to grant a hearing to a federal appeals judge who was nominated by Obama. Blah, blah, blah. Soon after the ruling, the campaign of Mitch McConnell, etc., etc. The Trump policy applies to travelers from 5 countries with overwhelmingly Muslim populations, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Syria, and Yemen. It also affects 2 non-Muslim countries, blocking travelers from North Korea and some Venezuelan government officials and their families. Okay, so it's not everybody from Venezuela. A 6th majority Muslim country, Chad, was removed from the list in April after it improving its, quote, "identity management and information sharing practices," said Trump in a proclamation. The administration had pointed to the Chad decision to show the restrictions were premised only on national security concerns. So the proposal being there that, well, if they just get their act together, these countries, and they, you know, put in the strictures that we want them to, then maybe we would remove these travel restrictions. It's not about the fact that they're Muslim. It's about the fact that they're claiming here that they just don't have the right controls in place. The administration has pointed to the Chad decision to show the restrictions, challengers argued the court could not just ignore all that had happened, beginning with Trump's campaign tweets to prevent the entry of Muslims into the United States. And that seems pretty telling. But apparently it didn't really faze the
justices
here.
Well, they're also not a fact-finding court.
What do you mean?
They're an appellate court. Or
they
usually
can only rule,
they're an appellate court.
They can only rule on questions of law,
yeah.
Is what you're saying. So they can't even bring this in as evidence to claim.
They
to
don't
claim.
See evidence, at least not in their appeal function, which is most of their function.
So even if Trump obviously tweets anti-Muslim things, that's not even considerable by the court,
no.
Basically. The toll-free number here tonight, 855-450-3, 855-450-3733. You can bring up what you want and take control of the airwaves here on Free Talk Live.
The Bitcoin.com wallet is a simple and powerful, full-featured wallet that allows you to send and receive Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Core with anyone, anywhere in the world. It supports both single and multi-signature wallets and is available in multiple languages. Use the Bitcoin.com wallet to buy, send, store, and receive both Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Core. Learn more at wallet.bitcoin.com.
What's more profitable, running your business or doing bookkeeping? Doing your business, of course, but you want to keep your books so that you can maximize your tax savings, right? What if I told you that there's a person that's a bookkeeper, accountant, and law school graduate that's also a hardcore libertarian?
My name is Melanie Johnson, and I hate the state. I will aggressively help you to minimize your tax exposure and maximize profits, all while staying within the law.
Melanie's your best choice for your taxes and bookkeeping needs. Go to tax.freetalklive.com and check out our website, tax.freetalklive.com.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I do did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. Dial in toll free. Bring up whatever you want. Remaining moments are now, which means we got time for you if you want to jump on the line with us in the studio. It's Ian.
And Johnson.
And Melanie.
As we continue here, of course, you can bring up anything. And I do want you to know about Liberty.menu. That's where you can go if you are a liberty-minded person. If you're an individual who rejects the initiation of force and agrees to abide by the ethics of the non-aggression principle, you qualify to use Liberty.menu to list your business or maybe your event or your digital content. There's different categories. It's basically a libertarian business directory. It's global. It's nice looking. It's easy to use the site. It's been around for a solid year now, and you can get started over at liberty.menu and get your business up there. It's free to do, so really there's no reason not to do this, unless, of course, you don't want people to know that you are liberty-friendly. So go to liberty.menu, and if you want, you can use code FTL. You'll get a special Free Talk Live listener badge on your profile. Once again, that's liberty.menu. As we continue here, we're talking a little bit more about the Trump travel ban. And then, Melanie, you've got a story about miscarriages, which we will get into here. But just a little bit more on some of the background here. The Supreme Court ruling and overturning lower court rulings against, the lower courts had ruled against Trump's travel ban. In this case, they have ruled in favor of it. According to the story in the AP, Trump, the current travel ban dates from last September, because remember, he's tried a few different iterations of this, and again, many were slapped down. The first one slapped down at the lower court levels and followed what the administration has called a thorough review by several federal agencies, although no such review has been shared with the courts or the public. Federal trial judges in Hawaii and Maryland had blocked the travel ban from taking effect, finding that the new version looked too much like its predecessors. Those rulings were largely upheld by federal appeals courts in Virginia and San Francisco, but the Supreme Court came to a different conclusion Tuesday. According to Roberts, who wrote for the majority, quote, the policy has a legitimate grounding in national security concerns, unquote, and it has several moderating features, they claim, including a waiver program that would allow some people from the affected countries to enter the United States. Through April, the administration has granted waivers to less than 2% of those visa applicants since the ban took effect. Roberts wrote, presidents have frequently used their power to talk to the nation, quote, to espouse the principles of religious freedom and tolerance on which this nation was founded, but added that presidents have not always lived up to those inspiring words. The challengers to the ban asserted that Trump's statements crossed a constitutional line. Quote, but the issue before us is not whether to denounce the statements. It is instead the significance of those statements in reviewing a presidential directive, neutral on its face, addressing a matter within the core of executive responsibility. So this is a major loss for the ACLU, who I believe was one of the contenders against this. I believe it was the ACLU that filed some of the initial cases very quickly, by the way, against some of these bans when they went into effect to try to stop them from affecting the people who were traveling at that moment in time, because there were literally people who were in airports or in the air who were being affected by this, people flying back into the United States, like actual U.S. citizens and green card holders flying into the U.S. from those countries, and the ACLU was able to put a stay essentially on the imposition of the bans to at the very least allow those people to come in. So very, very bad news for the freedom to travel, and this, you know, this could open the door to other future more restrictive bans. Melanie, any other an analysis you want to lay on us here as from the legal perspective?
Yeah, I mean, from a legal point of view, this is pretty much just, and I haven't read this case, so I'm just going on what you've said about it. This is pretty much just consistent with every Supreme Court case ever. It's national security concern. All they have to do...
As long as they cite national security, they can get away with anything.
Well, no, they can't just be like, this is a law against, how much fluoride you have to have in the water because national security. They can't just tag on because national security to any law they want to write.
Mm.
But, something that is related to national security, which... who is coming in from where, there's a pretty good case for that. And then also then all they have to reach is rational review. So if it's at all rational basis review, so if there's a rational basis for that law, they win. I mean, this isn't really, from a legal perspective, this isn't really that controversial. The only weird thing about it is that it was that divided, but... it's a political case, and so that happens to cases that are political sometimes.
So I don't think it certainly doesn't seem to bode well for the future of freedom to travel into the United States. And we'll see what they build off of from this point. Of course, the wall is supposedly coming as well. So some very disturbing anti-freedom to travel things here, and that's it's not gonna be good, I think, in the future. Melanie, let's change gears here and get into your story here briefly in the remaining moments of the program. You had something about miscarriages?
Yeah, so there was a woman in Arizona who was having a miscarriage, but sometimes your body doesn't acknowledge that right away. So she had to take a medication that was prescribed by her doctor to treat the miscarriage, not to start a miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to Walgreens in Arizona, where the pharmacist pretty much told her, go away, I'm not giving you this because you're a horrible person for trying to have a miscarriage.
Even though she already had the miscarriage. And this
so
drug
the baby was dead. She had gone to the doctor.
This drug kind of like helps you flush it out, basically.
Yeah.
The body flush the remnants.
Yeah. Now, and as a pharmacist, he should know that sometimes drugs have multiple uses because they're not magic spells. They're substances.
Right.
So he told her, you shouldn't be even trying to do this. Go away. She later got a text message from Walgreens telling her to pick it up at a different pharmacy, which it seems like she was able to do.
Okay. And was this a presumably religious objection from this pharmacist?
Yeah.
And do you know which state was it?
Arizona.
Arizona, okay.
And somebody had asked Walgreens on Twitter, how did this happen? What is your policy? And Walgreens was like, we give religious exemptions to pharmacists, but they have to pass on the work to another pharmacist.
Okay.
Now, apparently, he was the only pharmacist in the store at that time. And I don't see how it's that morally different from me giving you something to me being like, hey, Joe, give her
take
something.
Take care of this, yeah.
I don't see the moral difference there, so would he would even have done that or not, I don't know. First of all, this is just professional incompetency, in my opinion, because it's not an abortion pill any more than an AR-15 is an assault rifle, because those are verbs. And this chemical and a right AR-15 is an inanimate object. They don't do thing. They don't do anything. They're inanimate objects. So,
but it has AR right in the title.
Yeah. So
what's Armalite? I don't know what that is.
So the pharmacist. So you know she had that. And this is kind of like a medical concern, like. If you have what is now a foreign object, because it's a dead baby at this point, in your body, that's not particularly different than having any other foreign object in your body, because your body's not recognizing it as something it needs to take care of. So that can cause infections and death if you don't take care of that, like now.
Right.
Ah, the body will deal with it. Maybe he thought his, you know, his role as pharmacist was to be a farmer. He's farming lithopedians.
What is a lithopedian?
A lithopedian is the medical term for a stone baby, which is what happens.
A stone baby.
If a
not
woman,
a stoned baby.
Not a stoned baby. There's no medical marijuana involved here. This is what happens when a woman has a miscarriage and does not expel the fetus, and the fetus is too large to be reabsorbed back into the body.
Oh, wow.
It calcifies with, you know, literal calcium for the body and becomes a literal
stone fetus
within the body.
That's
and
crazy.
So, yeah, essentially.
Which is why we have medications to treat this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there is no abortion going on. There's no killing, feticide, murder going on. The baby's already dead. The doctor had verified this many times. According now, I'm not going to necessarily fault Walgreens for this. According to the state of Arizona, and I went and read the statute, now granted, this is not my area of law, but they cite the statute in the CNN article that I have. I am pretty sure that the state of Arizona makes Walgreens allow this because they have religious exemptions for pharmacists that have to be respected by their employers.
Mm-hmm.
So even though Walgreens is like, this is a substance that we sell, do you want to work here? A pharmacist can say, yes, I want to work here.
But not sell that one.
But
thing.
I'm just going to not randomly not sell your product.
Yeah. So the pharmacist has the backing of Arizona State.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So this is not Arizona's fault. This is not Walgreens' fault. This is the state of Arizona's fault. And this is not an abortion issue because the baby's already dead. This is a medical treatment issue.
And a pharmacist who doesn't know what the heck he's doing, basically.
Yeah.
Did not realize what the situation was. Well, at the very least, she did get the medication and presumably took care of the
Later
situation.
On, yeah.
All right, so out of time for tonight. You can join us online between now and tomorrow over at freetalklive.com. Check out Johnson's website, libertyminded.com, for cool Free Talk Live gear and other cool liberty and cryptocurrency t-shirts and such. And Melanie's over at tax.freetalklive.com. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck.
or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.